The format of this meeting is two 10-minute speakers followed by our information break and then our main speaker who will speak for 30 minutes. Our first 10-minute speaker is Brian.
My name is Brian. I'm an alcoholic. My sober day is March 1st, 2011. I have a sponsor who has a sponsor and so on, and Atlantic Group is my home group. I just want to say I feel great being here tonight. My fiance gave birth in February, and it's been so busy. I haven't been here since, so I see so many familiar faces. It's just fantastic. So I'm just going to start with a quick story to show you what led me to this program, like the kind of attitude that I had in life. My parents used to throw a lot of gatherings with family and friends, and I think I was about 5 years old. They had beer everywhere, and they would continually tell me, don't touch that. That's not for you. And the impression I had was, everybody's having a blast. Why can't I partake in this? So 5 years old, I took my first drink. I would sneak the leftovers in the beers and drink those. And then when they come in, I'd run off and, you know, kind of like hide in the corner and snicker to myself, feeling like I got away with something. And that's kind of the attitude I carried through my life in regards to my drinking. Only later, it became more insane and erratic. So as a teenager, I did the same thing a lot of people did. I hung out with people. I met people in school. The way I was introduced to alcohol in terms of how I really started picking up drinking and just going crazy at parties was my friend's brother. He was a couple years older. He had friends. They drank. So when we'd hang out with them, that's really when it started to take off. You know, I hadn't really been introduced to alcohol, even though people thought that I drank and did other substances, just because the kind of attitude and individual that I was, the way I carried myself. I was a real punk, kind of rotten growing up. I had this really crappy attitude towards life. You know, from a young age, I'd always come across like I was wronged. And I can't really explain that. You know, it's just the attitude that I carried. I used a lot of profanity at like age 10. People thought I was insane. I thought it was cool. People were like, no, no, there's something wrong with you. I'm like, no, but girls like it. No, they don't. They don't. Especially from a 10-year-old. It's just weird. So at 14, I was hanging out with my good friends in high school. I'd had like this tightly knit group that I would hang with all the time. They were the people that I used the most with. And one day, they started drinking, and I was like, this looks awesome. And I started drinking, and instantly, well, I'd say like an hour later, my whole perception on life changed. I thought I was the coolest person in the world. I instantly became funny. You know, I was way more relaxed. I was always so uptight and feeling the need to be very defensive or offensive and always have a joke in response to things people said to me. I could never just, like, listen and take something in and observe. I always had to have a comment and a response. And with alcohol, I could just sit. I could sit. I could drink. I could relax. People would be talking to me, and it was just like this fluid conversation. It was so different from anything I'd experienced before. So what I did is I took this feeling and I ran with it. I started drinking pretty much as often as I could. Every weekend, they would have parties. My friend's mom, she'd just take off for like 2 days on the whole weekend. So we would throw parties, and it was just, it was a thing to do. You know, everybody was drinking. Everybody was throwing parties. And then, very rapidly, I became the one person at the parties who was downing like 12 or 14 beers at 140 pounds. And people thought it was just amusing. As I started to get older and I could drink more and go to more parties and had more accessibility to alcohol, I realized after getting sober that I was like this party favor. People would invite me to the party and then see how much I could drink. And then when I would pass out, they would draw on my face. And I would wake up, and I'm like, what is happening to me? Why every time I drink do I pass out and wake up in some unfortunate circumstance? You know, I never attributed it to the alcohol. I attributed it to not being able to drink properly. Like, drinking too much within a certain amount of time and not being able to handle my alcohol. So other substances were introduced, but that just sped things along. You know, so I had this attitude. I got into trouble when I was 17. I got pulled over driving away from my friend's house, the very house we party at. I got a DUI at 17. I had a horrible attitude dealing with a police officer. There was another incident not too long after that. I got an MIP, minor in possession, and the way that I dealt with this police officer was very disrespectful. I insulted him. I told him I wanted to fight him. He took me out of the car. He took off his belt and his gun and everything, and he put it in the car, and he left me in handcuffs, and he's like, let's go. And I thought it was funny. So, you know, this was the attitude I had towards life. And I just kept getting into trouble. I never attributed it to alcohol, to alcoholism, just drinking too much, not being able to handle my alcohol. And then I came to New York City for the first time. I think I was 22. By this time, I had too many run-ins with the law. I had been drinking alone by myself, like almost daily. I didn't get invited to parties anymore. I didn't have the same friends that I used to. A lot of my friends had died by now from drinking and other substances. So, you know, the crowd was getting smaller. And when I came to the city, nobody knew me. It was fantastic. Nobody knew of the trouble I'd been in, the person that I was back home in Washington State. So I go to the bar out here, and I drink, and I drink, and I drink. And it was just fantastic. I felt like I was home in a new place, but nobody knew my name. Even though I wanted it to be like Cheers. You know, you go somewhere, you want to have that recognition. So things just kept happening, downward spirals. I got hit by a van, by a truck crossing the street. And in the hospital, they said to me, you know, you would have died if you weren't drunk. And I was like, oh my God, alcohol saved my life. And he goes, no, if you weren't drunk, you wouldn't have been hit by a van. I was like, no, that doesn't make sense. So just, you know, that defiant, like ignorant attitudes towards what alcohol was doing in my life. 2 days later, I went out and drank. And he told me, he's like, you shouldn't drink for a long time. You know, you're probably going to die. And I was like, no, I'll be fine. And then I met a woman who told me the same thing. I'm worried about you. I'm concerned about you. You know, I feel like you could do better, that you have better things in store for you in life. And I went to AA to get the heat off my back, like so many people do. I just thought, you know, I can drink when she's not around. I can get away with this. She'll never notice. And I tried to do that, too. And she would go upstate to visit family. I'd drink, and she'd call me, and it'd be 1 o'clock in the morning. You know, she knew exactly when to call. And I'd be slurring, and it was just this repetitive, destructive behavior. My family started to fall off. I had no one in the city of 8 million people. I was completely alone besides her and my dad, who I was staying with at the time. And my dad was pretty much done with me, so I took it serious. I went to a meeting after a binge that I had, after trying to not drink for like a week, 10 days. I was just crushed. I was devastated. I woke up. I felt like I was dead. So I went to a meeting, and I heard a guy say, you never have to feel like this again in your life. And I was like, oh, damn. Well, this is amazing. And you know, at first I didn't take it serious. I tried to just not drink, and I partook in other things, and it didn't work. And then I got honest with myself, and I stopped everything. I went through the steps with the sponsor. I had commitments. I did service. I went to 89 meetings in 90 days. Still defiant. Still a little bit defiant. And I was doing a lot of step work. I got up to step 10, and then just things, you know, I kind of have like a struggle in life where I ride the wave, and then the wave starts to die out, but I feel like I'm still up here. So I just try and continue things as they are. So my sponsor and I kind of fell apart, and then I got another sponsor who introduced me to this awesome meeting, and I felt like I'd found a new home, which was fantastic. And then the same thing. I started riding the wave with him, doing the work, and slowly it fizzled out. And this is just my experience. It's not the same for everybody. And he told me, he's like, dude, you know, I think I can spend my time better with someone else. And I thought, you know, he's probably right. I'm not being the sponsee that I should be. So he dropped me because he moved on to someone else who needed his help. And I'm working the steps again with my third sponsor, who he gives me so much wisdom and knowledge, and everything he does relates to the book and then a personal life experience. So it's twofold, and that's what I need. And right now, you know, I'm just in a position where I need to finish my steps. He keeps telling me, you have no idea what's going to happen when you finish the steps. You know, I said something about money before, and he says, you may not be rich, but you'll be taken care of. I believe it was something along those lines. And that's really all I ever want in life. You know, I have a son now, and how I stay in the moment is I hold him up, and I look him in the eyes, and I see God. Like, that's God to me, you know. Just, and then I put him down, and I pick him up, and he smiles, and everything's okay. So you just got to do it. That's all. Thank you.
Our second 10-minute speaker is Brittany.
Hi, I'm Brittany. I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety date is June 22nd, 2011. My sponsor's name is Sarah. I am a member of this amazing group, Atlantic Group, and I am practicing 9, working on 10, 11, and 12. And I say that for two reasons. One is to remind myself of what I need to be doing on a daily basis in order to keep this gift that I've been given. And two is to let you guys know that I am, in fact, working this program, and that, like, it is work, and I need to work this program in order to stay sober. I can recover from this thing, but I will never be cured. I have a daily reprieve from alcoholism, which is such a bummer. I really wish it was a cure. That'd be lovely. I'm definitely the type of person who, like, I want to do as little effort and get the gift without doing anything. Sure, I'll admit that I'm an alcoholic. Can I be sober now? Like, that's exactly what I want. But anyways, so. You know, I really don't want to spend too much time on my drinking. It was very depressing. And you guys all drank, you know what happens. My drinking was very much, I was a binge drinker. I drank really hard on the weekends. I drank to the point where I blacked out, because I was very uncomfortable in my own skin. I constantly felt like I didn't fit in. And, drinking was a tool that I used so that I could, show up, to life. At least I thought. Whatever. That was not showing up to life. I was blacked out, so there's that. But I would wake up the next morning and have to look through my phone and piece together what had happened through photos and text messages, and then be like, you know, just when you'd had those conversations with your friends, be like, please just don't, really, I don't want to know what I did. I really don't. It was embarrassing, and I really just don't feel like reliving that, because, like, I hate feelings. I drank because I hated feelings, and, like, I don't want to feel that guilt and that shame of how I embarrassed myself again and made you sad. And no, thank you. Let's just avoid that and keep it moving. So, yeah, that was my last night drinking, was the same thing. I was drinking to avoid something. And, you know, I thought that I could keep it classy, and yet again, I could not. And woke up the next day, same thing, just like all the rest of my drinking, except this time I was, like, horrified. I was a shell of a person. I was just terrified at the person that I was becoming, and really saw that, like, I had no control over what was happening to my life. You know, every time when I had woke up and said, you know, I'll never do this again, I'll never do this again, and then 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, like, I did it again. You know, I thought that that was my decision to drink again. I thought that I wanted to drink, but really it was like I needed to drink. I had to drink. That was my only way to deal with life. So for some reason, my sister suggested an AA meeting. Nobody in my family is sober or in AA, but my sister said, how about a meeting? And I said, okay. She could have told me to, like, bake a cake and stand on my head, and I would have been like, let's do this. I mean, chocolate cake or vanilla, I don't care. But, you know, and that was for me willingness. You know, it didn't mean that I wanted to do something, but I was willing to do that because I could see that, like, my life was just going to continue the way that it was going, which was, like, basically burning things to the ground because I just didn't believe in myself. I didn't believe in anything, really. I thought that I was never going to get what I want, so, like, what's the point in trying? So I came to AA, and I heard, I don't really remember my first meeting. It was really crazy. I just remember people, like, being really honest, and I was like, why are you saying that stuff out loud? You're crazy. Like, why? And then it got to the sharing portion, and they called on, my sister actually took me to my first meeting, so she was there, and they actually called on my sister, and my sister was like, oh, no, not me, her. And I was like, I don't know what to do. So I guess, like, I'll just talk about what happened last night. And, like, I don't really remember what I said, but I probably was talking about the fact that I, like, drank and, you know, all the terrible stuff that I had done and how bad I felt and, you know, sob story. And then I looked over and I noticed that my sister was crying. And that for me was the first time that I realized that my drinking affected other people. Because I always thought, like, you know, if I'm the one suffering and if I want to die every day, like, that's fine as long as I'm not hurting other people. But that really woke me up, to see my sister crying, because she is the member of the family that we all have that's, like, totally stoic and keeps everything together and, like, never has, thank you so much, and never has a feeling. So to see her hurt by this, or at least never publicly expresses them, so to see her, like, crying, genuinely upset about what I had been doing and what was happening, you know, I was like, oh, wow, this is real life. Because I always thought it was like a dream. I always thought it was like literally the Truman Show. If you've seen that movie, that's what I thought my life was. I thought I was that interesting and you were all paying attention to me. But I also thought I was like terrible at the same time. So, you know, because why not overthink everything, right? So at the meeting I'm sharing, you know, and I heard 90 meetings in 90 days. And I was like, sweet, 90 meetings in 90 days. That's all I have to do. All right. And then I'll be able to, like, drink normally or something. That sounds great. That's fine. I can listen to some stories, be entertained. Sure. And then, you know, thank God, God stepped in. And on my 29th day, I accidentally walked into the Atlantic Group. The Friday night meeting, and I didn't understand why you guys were so happy and smiling. I resented it, actually. And I remember, like, listening to the meeting and then afterwards this woman was like, oh, do you want to go outside or do you want to talk to the sponsorship chair? And I like did not want to get a sponsor because I didn't want to admit that I had this thing. And really like that's commitment. I can go to 90 meetings in 90 days, but like to get a sponsor, oof. So I went outside and like, you know, you guys are all outside smoking and doing what you do and people were taking my number and I was like, what is happening? It literally felt like the pod people coming after me. And I remember three women were, at least this is my memory, I do not know if it's an actual true memory or not, but I remember three women were taking my number, and then Hannah came up from the side and was like, have you met Sarah? And I was like, well, I don't know. And she was like, Sarah should be your sponsor. And I was like, what is happening? And Sarah explained what a sponsor was, which is just somebody who's been through the 12 steps and can help take you through them. They don't need to have a year. They need to have been through the steps so that they can help take you through them. Because, like, how are you going to share experience, strength, and hope if you don't have any to give? And I think Sarah said, so what do you think? And for some reason, I said yes. And then I was immediately terrified at the fact that I had said yes. I think I, like, texted her the day after or something, talking about, like, buyer's remorse or something. And, like, just, like, I was bananas. And then, like, she told me that I needed to call her every day, gave me my first step assignment. And for some reason, I did it, you know? To look up the definition of the word self and the definition of the word honesty and how was I practicing those principles in my life. And, like, it really showed me the fact that, like, I had no sense of self. I had no honesty. Whoever you, I thought you wanted me to be, I would be because I just wanted you to tell me that I was good enough. I just needed you to make me feel better about myself. And then it was like 5 minutes later, I was like, but like how good I am? How good am I? Can you explain it to me? Like in detail, like paint a picture. I mean, just, you know, like just the level of crazy. But it's still there. It's still there if I do not practice this stuff on a daily basis. So I'm going through the steps and with my sponsor, and, like, it's incredible, you know? I remember I couldn't look at her in the eyes at all when we were doing step work. And then I don't know when it started happening, but I started to be able to look at her in the eyes. And then, like, I remember taking my third step on my, like, praying with another person on my knees. And, like, I came in here, saw God in the shades, and was like, oh, no. But like I had that honesty, open-mindedness and willingness that they talk about here, that the three essentials of the recovery from this program. And I just did whatever she told me to say. It didn't matter if I agreed with it or wanted to do it. I just did it, which is like incredible that I was given that gift of willingness And really, it is the 12 steps that have really helped me become a different person. If you're new, I strongly encourage you to talk to someone here. If you don't have a sponsor, get one. Thank you so much. We're all more than happy to help you because, you know, we've been given this gift of recovery. And, like, we all can't keep it if we don't give it away. So there's that. But also, you know, it really does, like, I love when the Big Book talks about the fact that, like, at first we need humility, but then we genuinely want it. And, like, that for me is so true because the volume on my voice, in my, like, the volume in my head can turn up at any time. And it's like, if I don't immediately throw myself into the tools that I have now, which are prayer, meditation, calling other people, sponsoring other women, inventory, so useful, then, like, I can't be available to be of service to other people. And that's really important to me because, like, my primary purpose is to stay sober and help other people. And, like, thank you. And, you know, if I'm not a clear channel, then I can't help other people. And, like, thank God Sarah was clear that day. So thanks.